But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. I don't believe the heart of Jesus here is a condemnation against this church. I believe the heart of Jesus is saying, remember your first love. Remember the lovesick moments that you've had with me and return to those tender places. Let the jadedness fall away. Because again, the church here isn't doing anything bad. They're doing good things, actually. They're doing worthwhile things. They're doing godly things. They're doing biblical things. But 1 Corinthians 13, without love, it can just become like clanging cymbals. I think we love each other. I'm not at all trying to say like our church has fallen away or fallen out of love for God. No, quite to the contrary. I just think this is an encouragement for us to fall deeper in love.
Yes, come on. Yeah.
Just go deeper. Can we just ask that this morning? Oh, Jesus, just make us sloppy, intoxicated in your love. God, just consume us, Holy Spirit, right now. Just fill me. Just ask Him. Just fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, God, with all your love. With all your goodness. Yeah. Lord, we want to drink the wine of your kingdom this morning. God, be intoxicated by you because you are worthy, Jesus. Oh, we just thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Whew. Amen. Even in that worship, Evan and Elizabeth, thank you. And Darren.
Yeah.
It's just, I felt this. This is a refreshing, just a flow.
Yeah.
We're just kind of going in a flow here.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's not just about like the structure of the songs, but there's a flow because God wants to take us into something.
Yeah.
And it just happened to spend a lot of time in Psalm 23, which is exactly what Michael had read to start the service out with. Y'all know our Psalm 23 supernatural story, don't you? Have we told that? Most people do. Some people don't, but I can't tell the whole story. But years ago in Chapel Hill, after we moved here, we were having a kind of difficult time. Just stuff going wrong, things breaking, I don't know, bees outside our house or something like that. And just weird, you know, just stuff. And all of a sudden, Benjamin, which means son of my right hand, by the way, God's right hand man. Benjamin goes down to get his laundry and in the basement where there's no windows, there's no shelves in this room, there's no drop ceiling, there's no nothing. And all of a sudden, on the top of his laundry basket is an old piece of paper. And I don't have it in front of me, but I have a picture of it. Not that you're going to be able to see it, but it's weathered by the years. It's brown and it's typewritten with a typewriter. Does anybody remember those? We have no typewriters in our house. Haven't for years and years. And on this paper is a version from an old book by a chaplain to the U.S. Congress. What did he call them? Something conditioners. Confidence conditioners from Psalm 23. It's a version. It's Psalm 23. And after each line of the psalm, he writes out like a confession for that psalm and applying it to your life. And he said, do this every day for 7 days and it'll become a part of you. This paper appears on Benjamin's laundry. He brings it up to us. He goes, Mom, Dad, where did this come from? We have no idea. I feel like because Psalm 23 was on the Father's heart this morning too, could it be that there's more supernatural encounters for God has for us in 2023?
Let it be so.
Let the angels of heaven,
amen,
let us be aware of what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
What they want to do with us and through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
So Lord, we just say yes.
Yeah.
We welcome you, heavenly host.
Welcome the heavenly host.
Just come in. Come into our homes. Come into our laundry.
Yeah.
Come in.
Yeah.
Come in, Lord, and do what you want to do. Thank you, Lord, for even the visions and the visitations that you brought in here this morning.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we really needed that. Yeah. We're getting ready to pull away today for a couple of days at the new year. We're going away to just seek the Lord and be refreshed. So that was really the Lord for us. I just want to tell you that. Just thank you, church, for praying for us. We need that. We need to be refreshed. And you know, just feel this, what God wants to do in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to beat around too much on all this, but I feel like it from the beginning, like I said, God desired in his heart to show you goodness and mercy. And I believe that you have to see this. And, okay, let me get my thoughts here. Let's just go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1, you know it. So let's return back here to the beginning, the Genesis of 2023. And we'll also go to the Genesis in the New Testament. Who knows where in the Gospels there's a Genesis account? John 1, right? In the beginning was the Word. I love John because of that, that he goes all the way back and he begins his recollection of Jesus' life and ministry from the beginning, even in Genesis. And that's where we're going to go. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, making the first day. Just like today, the first day of 2023. And God said, and today is good. What I've created is good. Remember goodness? What I've created for you today, church, in the first day of 2023, it's good. I have good plans, says the Lord, for you.
Yes.
Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a future and a hope.
Yes.
There's goodness. You have to believe that. Then it goes on and on. I'm not going to read through the whole chapter, but you know the story. All the 6 days of creation, God created like dry ground and seas, and it was good. Plants and trees, and God saw that it was good. See, sometimes it's in the way that you see things. It's not that our circumstances aren't good. It's just that I'm not seeing it that way. God saw that it was good. The sun, moon, stars, and it was good. And so God created sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth." I'm just scanning through the rest of the chapter. And it was good. Can everybody say it was good?
Yeah.
And it was very good.
It was very good.
Do you see a pattern here? Does anybody feel an emphasis?
Yes.
Was there any evil yet? Was there any darkness? Had sin entered the picture? Were there people killing other people? Or, you know, none of that. And it was very good. Church, this was God's intention for you.
Yes.
This was God's original intent for all humanity. And I will say all humanity. Then God created human beings. Verse 26. Let me read that one from my Bible app here. Then God said, "Let us make human beings." This is in the NLT version. In whose image? Whose image? In God's image. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make human beings as three trichotomous beings, body, soul, and spirit, in our image, to be like us. Or in other translations, bearing our likeness.
Yes.
How many human beings, church? All human beings.
Yeah.
All bearing the likeness of God. This was his heart from the beginning.
Yeah.
They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God what? Do you know how powerful a blessing from God is? I mean, just think about it. Let's just say that Jesus appeared right here in the middle of the aisle and he put his hand on Jesus and he said, "My daughter, I bless you." What impact? impact do you think that would have? I mean, I'm being dramatic for a point. We just read, and he blessed them. Like, let's get to the other part. No way, pause. And he blessed them.
Yeah.
I would venture to say that whatever God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, whatever he blesses,
yeah,
let no man curse.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a powerful thing. And this is the original intent, was blessing and goodness. Let's say that together. Blessing and goodness. I'm sorry to get so worked up here. I feel really passionate about this. And out of this blessing comes being fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
Fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Bless it. Nurture it. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. I've given every green plant, and all the vegetarians said yes and amen as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life. And that is what happened. Now look at verse 31. Then God looked over all he had made, and he said, and he saw, and he said, he saw, he said, wow, this is really good. It reminded me of when Sarah alluded to looking at your baby in the crib or in the cradle. Or I remember all of my 6 children being born. It's like, man, I never had a baby come out. And my first thought is, boy, that's a dirty rotten sinner. No, that's never my first thought. My first thought is, oh my gosh, she is so beautiful. She is so adorable. Oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
With some of them, the nurses are looking at me like, Mr. Bones, are you okay? You might want to take a seat, put your head between your knees. You're looking a little flushed. And any other dads have those very emotional, almost fainting moments? I'm kind of notorious for that. By 5 and 6, I was cutting umbilical cords. But on the first one, I couldn't cut nothing. I was just trying to stay conscious. Because it was so emotional. It was so powerful. And I want you to know that that's how your Father has felt about you.
Yeah.
And all humanity.
Yeah.
Good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Who choose sin and who don't. He's like, no, my daughter, my son, they're very good.
Come on.
I'm very proud of them.
Yes.
Yes, they may wander. And yes, some have strayed. And some have not chosen the free gift I provided for them yet. We're getting to that. But it's very good. This was the heart of God from the beginning. And he saw it was very good. And evening passed and morning came. And it marked the 6th day. I just don't know if we know how good he is.
I don't.
Yeah. How his goodness knows no end.
Yeah.
You know, Paul even wrote that it's the very goodness of God that brings people to repentance.
Wow.
So good.
Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil.
Wow.
That was his spiritual warfare. Goodness.
That's right.
He fought evil with goodness. He fought hatred with goodness. He even healed Samaritans. There was a racist thing against the Samaritans, seen as half-breed people, not true Israelites. He even touched that woman who wouldn't even be given the dignity to have the 5th man even marry her. She had so much shame. And he said, come to me and you won't have to drink again because I have rivers of living water. You know the story, John 4. Who else? Zacchaeus, a dirty, rotten, just thief, tax collector. He even went outside of Israel and touched people in Syria. He healed the Roman occupier's son. I mean, you name it. How did Jesus combat the regimes and the evil that were coming his way? Goodness.
Yeah, come on.
Goodness and love. He went about doing good.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And it was the Father's heart from the beginning was to bring goodness. To bring goodness. And then don't forget Psalm 23:6 and mercy. We're all in need of mercy. Why? Well, because you know the story. Adam and Eve, they bought into a lie. And that's what all humanity does. There's not one without sin. There's not one who hasn't followed that pattern. But before Genesis 3, I want you to hear this because I'm going to keep coming back to this over the coming weeks. Here is the cornerstone of our faith. Are you ready for this? It's very simple. From the beginning, the Father desired in love to have sons and daughters.
Come on.
You get that? From the beginning, the Father desired in love to have sons and daughters. Boom. If we're going to build a building here today and we're putting the foundation down and the cornerstone, that statement right there is the beginning. Why? Because it's Genesis 1. This is everything. All right, now let's see what happens here. Oh, wait, before I get to that, even Paul wrote this in Ephesians 1:4. He says, even before he, God, made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him what?
Great pleasure.
Did you catch that? It gave him great pleasure. The Father has always had an intention in his heart that when he created all, he said, yeah, this is all good. This has always been his intent.
Amen.
And it still is.
Always.
This is still the goal. This is still the target. This is still what we're here for, is to walk in the breeze of the day
Come
with God.
On. Yes.
Face to face, like a man talks with his friend.
Yeah.
However, God's children gave in to Satan's lies, as we know, and rejected the Father's desires. It reminds me much of like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
He really had everything, but he chose to go out and buy into an identity lie about himself. I don't really have time to preach Genesis 3. Maybe that'll come later. But if you casually read through it, it just stands out to you. Because the devil keeps saying, do you really think? Don't you think God really knows that you'll be like him? And you're like, oh, lie, don't lie. No, don't do it. You already are. You know, and then in Matthew 4, Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days. You remember that? And he counteracted that. It's interesting. Matthew 4 and Genesis 3 are parallels too. In Genesis 3, they bought into the devil's lie. And then you remember the Holy Spirit took Jesus out in Matthew 4 into the wilderness and tried to get him to buy into those same identity lies. But did he give in? No. He got it back. See, our identities have been won back. It's not just that our sins have been paid, which is awesome and true, but also that our identity has been won back through this man that we love. Let's look at this. Genesis 3, 1 through 10. Let me just read that real quick so that we're on the same page. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat or even touch it, and if you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt what? Oh, here come the fig leaves. Fear, insecurity, guilt, and shame. The famous acronym for figs. Fear, insecurity, guilt, and shame. That's where it all started. Have you ever felt ashamed? Do you think it's God doing it to you? No. It's your being enticed by your own sin. And then it's this deceiver, this liar, who's saying you ought to be ashamed of yourself. They felt shame at their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Let me ask you a question. Who hid? Adam or God?
Adam
hid, absolutely. It's obvious from the text. We don't have a God so holy that he can't be in the presence of sin. Did he hide us from sin? No. That's not what our God is like. He is actually right in the middle of our mess.
Yes.
He is right in the middle of humanity's sin, going about doing good, redeeming, restoring, forgiving, mercy and compassion. He's not some far off God in some place somewhere looking down who's all holy and cannot be in the presence of sin. No, from the very beginning, from the very first sin, God said, "Where are you?
Come on.
Let me find you.
Yeah.
Let's restore this." Wait. No, but we feel shame. So man hid. Man felt shame, but it wasn't God doing it to them. Now, do you see a shift there?
Yes.
You see, many of us, really all of us in our culture, in our church Christian culture, we have been taught that there is this all holy God that cannot be in the existence of sin. And I'm just saying, where is that in the Bible? Obviously, yes, he is a holy God. Okay, but he came to be in the middle of the existence of Zacchaeus' sin, the woman caught in adultery. Do you see Jesus hiding from sin?
No.
Was Jesus like, "Sorry, can't have dinner with you because you drink too much"? No, I'm sorry, I can't go to your house because you have, stolen tax dollars there, or whatever the situation was. No, actually, Jesus ran right into those places. And he was called by the religious mindset that believed in this holy God that you can't. They called him a glutton and a drunkard. Is that not true? I'm just quoting the Bible. The religious mindset to, "Oh no, God's too holy. This guy, he's going in there where there's a bunch of drinking and carousing going on. That can't be anybody good. He is a drunk and a glutton." It's not true. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you of who our God is and what he's like and where his heart is for humanity, because he wants to take us somewhere in 2023. And it might surprise some of us where he wants us to go. It might surprise us. And what I mean by go, I don't mean a physical location. I mean in our minds, the minds of our heart. Like, God, destroy my boxes. God, just get me out of my paradigms of all that I thought was you. But maybe, God, you're wanting to do something in me. You want to do something good. I know. Get your steel-toed boots on. Might be stepping on some toes here. But it's all right. It's all right. Because our Father is so good. So you see, this is known in Genesis 3 as, of course, the fall, or the doctrine of original sin. And it has become the starting point and the focus of many church traditions, right? It's always about, okay, and man fell into sin, and then Jesus came to pay the penalty for that sin so that we could be reconciled to God. And that's true. I'm not saying that's not true. But where is the focus? Is it on original sin or upon original blessing? Because we just read it, the original of the original was in chapter 1. Where God blessed them and said, "This is very, very good." So where Genesis 3 comes in is, it got distorted by what Romans calls, I'll come back to this more later, the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death entered in to the creation as a stronghold that no human being has ever really resisted until the sinless Christ. And he came to destroy the law of sin of death with the law of the spirit of life and grace. You can read Romans 6 and 8. It talks about that. Or no, I think it's in verse in chapter 5 starting out. Anyway, you see, and this is the starting point. Okay, but why does that matter? The reason it matters is because we don't want to be sin conscious. We want to be God conscious. Our focus is not on how big and bad the devil is. Our focus is on how awesome and mighty and loving our Father is.
Holy.
Even in my own life, think about this. Check this in your own life. Take an assessment in 10 seconds. Where have you had the most success overcoming sin? Was it in your own do-betters? In your own law? Or was it in being lovesick? Was it in how great Jesus is? Was it in a reminder of how much he loves me? He loved me first and I love him back. And we're so in love. Well, I don't even have time for sin. That's funny. That sin that was plaguing me, it's like, where did it go? You follow me? I'm not saying, of course there's these moments of tears, these moments of recognition. Repentance does mean a turning away. But the turning away, turning to something good, something that's God in our lives. That's the shift. And so that's why I think Genesis 1 being the first mention before Genesis 3 is so primary in our understanding of what God wants to reveal to us. Which is stronger, original sin or original goodness and blessing? The starting point is very important. It will determine your focal point. Sin or God your Father. Then in John's gospel, are you guys all right?
Yeah.
I'm about done here. Whew, I'm feeling sweaty. It's kind of hot in here this morning. In John 1, go there real quick. I alluded to this and I just want to read a few of those verses. Let's start in what did I put up there? 1-5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word, of course, is Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Let's jump down to verse 10. He, the Word, Jesus, he came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another." What have we received? One gracious blessing. What happened in Genesis 1:28? And God blessed them and said, "It is very good." This is the Genesis blessing that John is referring to here in this verse. He said, we have all been given, received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. You see in verse 12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the, in Greek, the exousia. It literally means authority. It's translated right to become a child of God. I would add, from the beginning, From the beginning, all humanity has been given that right through Christ. That's the free gift of the Son. Amen? So what's God doing here? What is He wanting to do with this year? Let me just give you this real quick as we conclude. Isaiah's prophecy for Israel coming out of captivity in Babylon after 70 years. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, Jesus said. Isaiah prophesied this about Him. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be free.
Yeah.
Is that good news?
Yeah.
This is literally the gospel right here. He has sent me, that's you, to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His own glory.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Jesus, as He's starting out His ministry, He walks into His home synagogue and He takes the scroll of Isaiah 61. And He reads what we just read in Luke 4, 18 and 19. And He sits down and says, today this has been fulfilled in your midst. And everybody's just looking at Him like, isn't this Joe and Mary's boy from 411 Maple Street? You know, whatever. Like, what? And they hated Him. I don't understand. Why would anyone hate this? The Spirit of the Lord has come, all the good stuff, right? Like Christmas presents for everyone. Like all the good stuff. Blind eyes open, captives set free, brokenhearted, those who are mourning. And then Jesus says, yep, this is being fulfilled. But a heart began to disdain. So goodness and mercy versus anger, disdain and hatred. Which one do you want?
Come on. I want goodness.
Goodness and mercy. I want goodness and mercy. Because
yeah.
I, for one, I need some mercy.
Yeah.
I've needed mercy. I recognize the mercy. I've received so much mercy because I didn't get what I deserved. That's mercy, right? But I have received so much goodness and continue to receive so much goodness. And I believe what God's saying and doing through this right now is He wants us to be equipped to give that away.
Come on,
He wants to put in our arsenal, our bags of weapons here, goodness and mercy.
Yeah.
He wants to add that, like this arrow of goodness. Oh yeah, you hate me? Woo, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you speak spitefully and give it, oh, love and mercy coming your way.
Come on.
Oh, you can't stand my church. Healing, be healed. Whoa, what is that?
Shut up.
I think this is the gospel.
Yes.
This is the Bible for Christians, for the church. This is, as Evan's saying, the weapons of our warfare. Praise is a weapon. Praise doesn't seem to some soldier out there like a weapon. It seems wimpy. You just go ahead and sing your songs. We got some real weapons. No, in the kingdom, praise is a weapon. Think about it. Jesus yielding His life was the most aggressive, violent act to the kingdom of darkness in the history of the world. But literally the devil thought he had won. But the last laugh was on Him. Jesus laid down His life, surrendered. And then He came and said, well, after that, now pray for those who hate you. Bless and don't curse. Even those who spitefully use you. Whew, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have mercy on us. But see, this is where it comes back. God wants to see that he originated with his goodness and his mercy. He's not focusing just on the Genesis 3. Yeah, it's an issue that he came to reconcile relationship. And that is the good news for the whole world out there, is that there's a reconciliation of relationship. Relationship then brings identity. And then in identity, when you know who you are, then your eyes are opened to realize the goodness of your Father. Just like the prodigal son, the loving father story. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
How are we going to do this? Wow. We're going to return to our first love.
Come on.
We're going to be intoxicated in his love and by his presence.
Amen.
We're never going to apologize for it. We're not going to try to pet it and like, well, I'm sorry if this doesn't work for you. I wish there was a way, but there's not. Let me retry that statement. I don't wish there was a way, but sometimes it just doesn't look nice, clean, and neat. It doesn't sound maybe as snazzy or have as much production quality. But the power of God is available for those who want to press into the Father's heart for his goodness and mercy. The promise to Israel was a land flowing with milk and honey and where new wine flowed. Now, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Ephesians 5:18 in the New Living Translation. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
For you, today is a Genesis. It's a new beginning. Receive the Father's love and identity over you as a son or daughter. Now then, go and walk in that. Go and walk in that today. Why don't you guys stand with me? As I close in prayer, I want you to remember something. Nothing from heaven begins with anxiety and fear. Did you hear me? Nothing from heaven begins with anxiety and fear. If you wake up on January 2nd with anxiety and fear, run into love. Say, okay, love, Father, what am I missing here? You notice in Genesis 1, we don't see that God the Father is there like anxious. Like, oh gosh, I really want to create these people. But if I do, what if they sin? What if they mess up? God's not anxious. He's not fearful about the what ifs or the what could ofs. God said, no, let there be light. Yeah, let me create these things. He's orchestrating that, and he's done the same thing in your life. And what he wants us to do is just walk in that love.
Yeah.
Father, we just love you today. Jesus, I'm so infatuated with your gaze. One glance of your eyes just melts my heart. I just want to know you in the depths of your love, Jesus.
Yeah.
In the very depths of your heart, Lord. Lord, we want to know you.
Yeah.
And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, would you come and intoxicate us with your love today?
Yeah.
Would you come as we just reach out? Lord, as we reach out for you, we thank you that you've already reached down and picked us up.
Yeah.
So like a little kid reaching up to be picked up by his mom or his dad, Lord, we just reach our hands as we say, pick me up, Dad. Pick me up, Father. Lord, I want to sit on your lap. I want to hear your heartbeat. I want to lean my head against your chest and know what you care about. Father, give us a heart for our neighbors. Give us a heart for our friends that are lost.
Yes.
God, let us understand your undying passion and love for those who speak unkindly against you, Lord.
Yes.
Who even in their ignorance blaspheme your name. God, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would pour goodness and mercy into their lives, God. Lord, even like we remember when we were afar off.
Yeah.
But God, you reached down to us. You pulled us out of our depression.
Yeah.
You pulled us out of our anxiety. You pulled us out of our addiction.
Right.
You pulled us out of our fear, God. And you put our feet on a rock, not because we were good, but because you are love.
Yeah.
And that's what you are like. So will you wreck our heart, God, for what wrecks yours?
Yeah.
Lord, as we receive the goodness of your presence here, even this morning through that vision you gave Tracy, God. God, I pray that you would give us spiritual vision to see into heaven the goodness and the healing, the mercy and the freedom that's being released right now over Chapel Hill, over Durham, over Raleigh, over Pittsburgh, over Hillsboro, God, over Alamance County, God, over Wake County, Lord. We just bless them. We bless our communities, God. We ask for your goodness and your mercy to go before them. The love of God overshadow them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. We love you. We bless you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. If you need prayer, come on up here. We want to lay hands on you, pray for you. Happy New Year. Go and remember that God wants to give you new revelation.
Amen.
I always think instead of New Year's resolutions, I want a New Year revelation from God. Those are available. Let Him speak to you and open your Bible and write down what you're hearing, because that's where it's at. He's going to bring all kinds of newness into our lives. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.